Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is July 25, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Norwegian Air to accept Bitcoin through exchange set up by founder. New Jersey man indicted over unlicensed Bitcoin exchange. TD Ameritrade CEO, we're taking crawl, walk, run approach to crypto. Bitcoin price retakes $10,000 but remains short of bull revival. Kraken installs crypto OTC guru as head of dev for Bitcoin futures platform. Tron's son apologizes to regulators for over-marketing Buffett lunch. Andrew Yang's PAC accepting donations in BTC via Lightning Network. However long it takes, Zuckerberg vows to win over Libra regulators. Crypto loans firm left thousands of users' financial data exposed. Indian bureaucrat who favored Bitcoin regulation quits finance ministry. Ethereum stays in massive downtrend against Bitcoin. Andrew Yang Super PAC will accept Lightning-powered Bitcoin donations. Venezuelan GOVT reportedly dodges U.S. sanctions with crypto in airports. FBI suspects insider trading in Long Island iced tea blockchain pivot. Now let's get started. Norwegian Air to accept Bitcoin through exchange set up by founder. Norwegian business magnate Bjørn Kajås and his family have reportedly set up a cryptocurrency exchange and plan to introduce Bitcoin payments at their airline, Norwegian Air Shuttle. As reported by local business newspaper Dagens Næringsliv, DN, on Tuesday, the new exchange is dubbed Norwegian Block Exchange, NBX, and is slated to launch in August. The magnate's son, Lars Ola Kajås, is also said to have become a Bitcoin investor, having bought 3.5 million Norwegian kroner, $404,000, worth of the cryptocurrency in 2017. At the time, Bitcoin prices were far below their current levels of $10,000. DN said the investment came to light through documents from Lars' company Green 91, and makes him one of Norway's top crypto investors. He is also a board member of Norwegian Block Exchange, which the Kajås family owns almost outright, according to the report. Once the exchange is up and running, the plan is to expand to neighboring countries and, in the autumn, provide a payment solution enabling Norwegian Air Shuttle customers to pay for tickets with cryptocurrency, DN says. Norwegian Air Shuttle, Norwegian, is Scandinavia's largest airline and Europe's third largest budget airline, according to Wikipedia. New Jersey man indicted over unlicensed Bitcoin exchange. A 46-year-old resident of the U.S. state of New Jersey has been charged with running an unlicensed Bitcoin exchange. William Green of Monmouth County was indicted on one count of operating an unlicensed money transmitting business via the operation of a website called Destination Bitcoin. Through the site, he allegedly accepted more than $2 million in cash, turning the funds into Bitcoin for customers for a fee, the New Jersey Attorney's Office said in a press release on Wednesday. Green is set to appear before a district judge on a date yet to be determined. He has previously been charged with the same offense back in February 2019, the release indicated. The office said that, under federal law, any person who owns or operates a money transmitting business must register the business with the Secretary of the Treasury. However, Green did not register, either in his own name or in the name of his business, with the Secretary of the United States Treasury as a money transmitting business, it said. The charge carries a maximum penalty of 5 years in jail and a $250,000 fine. TD Ameritrade CEO, we're taking crawl, walk, run approach to crypto. TD Ameritrade's outgoing CEO has issued new statements indicating that clients are asking for investment opportunities in cryptocurrencies and that his firm may be looking for ways to serve that need. Tim Hockey, who tendered his resignation earlier this week, told The Street Tuesday he is taking a crawl, walk, run approach toward offering digital assets on the brokerage platform. The firm represents $1.3 trillion in assets for nearly 11 million clients. Since 2018, TD has reportedly offered trading in Bitcoin futures to investors through the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. It also reportedly lists investment opportunities in blockchain-focused firms, but not digital assets directly. However, consumer demand is pushing the firm to increase their cryptocurrency offerings. Clients are asking for it, Hockey said. Adding, our investment in ERISX at some point may allow us, referring to the crypto-denominated trading platform the firm placed an early stake in. As previously reported, the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission (CFTC) licensed ERISX to offer derivatives and futures contracts. The firm already held a designated contract market (DCM) license. Despite these greenlight, Hockey still has his reservations, especially regarding the industry's regulatory uncertainty. Hockey said, "We would like to be able to participate, but we want to be comfortable with the risk to our clients and ourselves in a world where crypto has still got lots of debate about a number of items that we're all hearing about." Bitcoin price retakes $10,000 but remains short of bull revival. View: Bitcoin has again charted a recovery to above $10,000, but the outlook remains bearish with the lower highs pattern intact. The recent gains may be short-lived, as the recovery seen in the last 24 hours is stuck at key resistance levels and lacks volume. A UTC close above $11,120 is needed to revive the bullish view. That level could come into play if BTC clears key resistances around $10,200 on high volumes. Bitcoin is back above $10,000, but the technical charts indicate a bull revival is still $1,000 away. The premier cryptocurrency by market value is currently trading at $10,150 on Bitstamp, having hit a low of $9,514 yesterday. This is the third time in a month that BTC has charted a quick recovery back into five figures. Prices bounced off the former resistance turned support of $9,097 on July 17 and climbed back above $10,000 the following day. Before that, BTC printed a low of $9,614 on July 2 only to close well above $10,000 the same day. On both occasions, BTC carved out lower highs a bearish pattern at $11,120 and $13,200, respectively. The latest bounce may have caught some investors off guard, as BTC was on slippery grounds 24 hours ago after breaching long-term trendline support on Tuesday. Despite the rise, the outlook remains bearish, as the lower highs pattern is still intact. BTC needs to rally by $1,000 and beat resistance at $11,120 to invalidate lower highs and revive the bullish view. That said, BTC may have a tough time rising above $11,120 as key resistances are currently capping upside. Kraken installs crypto OTC guru as head of dev for Bitcoin futures platform. United States cryptocurrency exchange Kraken has hired the ex-CEO of over-the-counter OTC trading platform B2C2 to head of development at its new Bitcoin futures operation. Kevin Beardsley, who previously led the United Kingdom-based company for a year, will now oversee Kraken futures expansion as volumes hit $2.5 billion in June. Beardsley confirmed the news linking to comments he made to cryptocurrency news outlet The Block. "Being a pretty wide range of different types of participants, I have a pretty good understanding of what people are looking for and how to meet those needs," he said. Kraken acquired its futures operation earlier this year. Formerly known as Crypto Facilities, the operation is still based in London. Going forward, the exchange, which raised $13 million in funding last month, will compete with an increasing variety of futures options for cryptocurrency, several of which are surfacing from other trading platforms such as Binance and Huobi. 2019 is set to see multiple launches, with Bakkt, the institutional-grade crypto trading ecosystem, beginning testing of its futures product this week. Cryptocurrency-focused B2C2 is already pursuing expansion of its own meanwhile, hiring Wall Street veteran Rob Catalanello in March as it eyed the U.S. market. Disclaimer, an earlier version of this article said that Kevin Beardsley would be CEO of Kraken's Bitcoin futures platform, while his actual title will be head of development. Tron's son apologizes to regulators for over-marketing Buffett lunch. Justin Sun, the founder of the Tron cryptocurrency, has issued a public apology via his social media channel for his recent conduct hyping a cryptocurrency industry event. Sun published a letter on Weibo in Chinese on Thursday, saying he sincerely apologizes to the public, media, officials and regulatory authorities for his over-marketing actions, especially with his recent publicizing of a highly anticipated charity lunch with billionaire investor Warren Buffett. My intention of having the lunch with Buffett was because of my admiration for him and my enthusiasm for charity. It was simple, but also with self-interest to promote the blockchain industry and my project. But my immature, naive, and impulsive conducts with my big mouth have turned it into an out-of-control and failed over-marketing hype and led to a significant series of unexpected consequences, he wrote, adding, during the whole process, I went from being excited, to worried, agonized and then terrified and regretful. It led to a negative influence on the public and also drew concerns from regulators who care about me. Again, I want to say, I am sorry. Sun didn't specify which regulators he is referring to in the letter, but mentioned the term regulator 13 times. So far, he has only published the apology in Chinese. The letter comes just days after he postponed the lunch with Buffett, citing a health issue with kidney stones. Soon after he announced the postponement, media outlets in China published reports on Tuesday saying Sun had been on China's border control list, though Sun later live-streamed himself to prove he's currently in San Francisco. In addition, Sun said in the letter he will now minimize his appearance in the public to contemplate the over-marketing issue. Moving forward, due to my illness, I will take some rest, reduce my publicity on Weibo and media interviews. All the efforts spent on publicity stunt need to go back to technology development, he stated. On Wednesday, Sun said in a tweet that he is feeling much better and seems to be back working at full speed on Friday. In a Weibo post on the same day, he also said he should be able to meet the outside world soon after recovery. Andrew Yang's PAC accepting donations in BTC via Lightning Network. A new political action committee, PAC, supporting presidential candidate Andrew Yang is allowing donations in Bitcoin, BTC, via Lightning Network. The PAC, named Humanity Forward Fund, Humanity FWD, rolled out its Bitcoin-powered fundraising program, named 21 Days of Bitcoin for the 21st Century on July 25, and will continue accepting Bitcoin donations until August 14, according to its official website. Humanity FWD partnered with OpenNode to enable donations via Lightning Network. Humanity FWD was launched by supporters of Democratic presidential candidate Yang on July 24 to support his run for the presidency of the United States in 2020, CoinDesk reported July 25. To enable the Bitcoin-powered fundraising challenge, Humanity FWD partnered with BTC payment processor OpenNode, which will be reportedly accepting Bitcoin from Lightning wallets. Bitcoin donations to cut fees as opposed to transactions through credit cards. Seth Cohen, founder of Humanity FWD, said that accepting Bitcoin donations through OpenNode will cut transaction fees as opposed to donations through credit cards. He reportedly stated that credit card processors charge up to 4%, while OpenNode charges only 1%. Cohen revealed that the PAC has not yet decided on whether Humanity FWD will immediately convert raised Bitcoin to fiat or rather hold it until after the 21 Days of Bitcoin program ends, outlining the challenge of managing Bitcoin donations. He elaborated that Bitcoin's volatility would create additional regulatory requirements, such as the need to keep a record of Bitcoin's price change for each donation. In 2017-2018, total political donations in crypto amounted to $570,000. Humanity FWD is not the first crypto-powered PAC in the U.S., CoinDesk reports, citing data by the Center for Public Integrity that estimated the value of political crypto donations during the 2017-2018 election cycle at $570,000. In September 2018, California's campaign regulator banned Bitcoin from political donations as the agency raised concerns over donated funds' traceability and transparency. Previously, the South Carolina regulators prohibited a local candidate from using digital currency donations to support his campaign as definition of campaign contribution did not include crypto. Meanwhile, Yang is known for his pro-blockchain stance. Earlier this year, the candidate advocated for clear regulation in crypto industry. However long it takes, Zuckerberg vows to win over Libra regulators. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg says the company will spend however long it takes to get regulators and others on board before launching the Libra cryptocurrency project. Speaking during a quarterly earnings call on Wednesday, the social media giant's founder sought to assure investors that Facebook would act responsibly with its development of Libra, the ambitious crypto project revealed last month as a potential payments rail for unbanked individuals. Facebook worked with prospective members of its governing council, the Libra Association, to publish its white paper last month in order to address questions about it, he said. We're committed to working with policymakers to get this right. The company initially said it aims to launch the currency in the first half of 2020, but the pushback from regulators and politicians has called that timeline into question. In response to an analyst's question about timing, Zuckerberg said Facebook's approach to Libra is to try and have a very open dialogue, and that unlike a few years ago, when the company might have just launched a new product, today Facebook tries to detail what specific ideas and values we think an eventual service should have. We've opened a period of, however long it takes to address regulators and different experts and constituents' questions about this and then figure out what the best way to move forward is, Zuckerberg said, adding, that's certainly what we're planning to do with Libra. So we worked with the 27 other members of the association to publish the white paper to put the idea out there, expecting that this is a very important and heavily regulated area and that there were going to be a lot of questions. And we're going to have to work through that. Staying on message. Zuckerberg's comments echo statements made by David Marcus, Facebook's blockchain lead. Marcus, who used to sit on the board of crypto exchange and Libra Association member Coinbase, testified before Congress last week in back-T0-back hearings in an attempt to assure legislators that Facebook would not launch Libra until all regulatory questions have been answered. However, Marcus stopped short of promising to halt development entirely. We are trying to provide a safe and stable and well-regulated product, so that's always been the strategy and we'll continue to engage here, Zuckerberg concluded on Wednesday. Crypto loans firm left thousands of users' financial data exposed. Cryptocurrency loans platform YouHodler left millions of records containing private financial data from thousands of users exposed online, researchers found. In a blog post, VPN Mentor said its research team, led by Noam Rodem and Ran Loker, discovered a database leak as part of their web mapping project and traced it back to YouHodler. The data, they found, exposed comes to more than 86 million records that includes users' names, email addresses, home addresses, phone numbers and birthdays. It gets worse. Credit card numbers, CVV numbers, bank details and crypto wallet addresses were also exposed in the data. The implications of this breach are extensive, said the firm. VPN Mentor said it had contacted YouHodler on July 22, which responded a day later and fixed the issue. YouHodler's website indicates that it has served over 3,500 customers and provided over $10 million in loans. In its own blog post on the breach, YouHodler claimed the exposed files did not contain any sensitive information and no one was affected. The first part of that statement flies in the face of the researchers' findings, however. Rodem and Loker provided screen grabs of the data, with portions hidden to conceal user data, that seemed to back up the claim that they were able to find CCVs, top image, and card numbers, bottom image, in the logs. The team said the first example shows that we still found all of the details needed to take full control of the card, including CVV numbers. They added that, while the cardholder's name ISNT displayed in either of these logs, numerous other records stored both names and credit card numbers together. The researchers further found data allowing them to link users' names to Bitcoin wallet addresses. According to VPN Mentor, the nature of the data that leaked from Uhodler's database could have serious consequences. Any platform that stores credit card data should be taking several security precautions. If Uhodler only stored the BIN and last four digits of user credit cards, there wouldn't be as much of an impact in this regard. Uhodler said that it understands user data is potentially at risk of being compromised from outside the platform, continuing, "We do our best to prevent that from happening by implementing two-factor authentication and email verification. We are sure that all security settings are checked and renewed and there are no vulnerabilities in our systems. It seems its best wasn't good enough in this case." Indian bureaucrat who favored Bitcoin regulation quits finance ministry. The bureaucrat who favored the creation of a Bitcoin regulatory framework in India quitted the Ministry of Finance on Wednesday. IAS Subhash Chandra Garg, who served as the Economic Affairs Secretary and Finance Secretary of India, accepted transfer order to the Ministry of Power. A day later, Garg applied for voluntary retirement from service with effect from October 31. Garg's transfer came days after Business Standard reported that he was in favor of regulating Bitcoin in India. The bureaucrat considered the cryptocurrency as an economical phenomenon, and believed its regulation would yield great results for the Indian technology and finance sector. His views, nevertheless, did not sit well with the Reserve Bank of India, RBI. The Indian Central Bank had earlier imposed a banking ban on regional cryptocurrency firms, including exchanges and blockchain companies. The minutes of the meeting between the Garg-led interministerial panel and RBI showed the latter demanding an outright ban on cryptocurrencies. Last week, the panel released a draft bill recommending a prohibition on holding and trading of Bitcoin, which followed by a message from Garg on his official Twitter handle. "Committee is very receptive and supportive of distributed ledger technologies and recommends its widespread use in delivering financial services," he wrote, adding, "It also opens up door for a possible official digital rupee. Private cryptocurrencies are of no real value. Rightly banned." Lower profile. Garg's transfer and subsequent announcement of retirement also followed the approval of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's maiden union budget for 2019-2020. The finance secretary reportedly assisted the government in developing the annual bill, in addition to preparing the proposal of Bitcoin ban in India. The Economic Times reported that the Indian Power Ministry is a lower profile for a bureaucrat as experienced as Garg. Nevertheless, the agency also mentioned that the former economic secretary was just a year short of his retirement age, which could have influenced him to consider a mildly pressured ministry and an early bid adieu, especially after a tiring budgeting process. The major bureaucratic reshuffle saw Atanu Chakraborty, Department of Investment and Public Asset Management, DIPAM, secretary, replacing Garg as the new economic affairs secretary. Chakraborty's stance on Bitcoin and other decentralized cryptocurrencies remains unclear as of this time of writing. Bitcoin hearing delayed, meanwhile. On the sidelines of Garg's transfer, the so-called crypto versus RBI case remained pending in the Supreme Court of India. India-based crypto news source CryptoKanoon reported that the hearing got postponed due to other listed matters. The court may hear the affair tomorrow, which would see RBI defending its decision to bar Bitcoin firms from accessing banking services and the crypto sector questioning the judgment as unconstitutional and biased. Ethereum stays in massive downtrend against Bitcoin. Ethereum was on the top of its game during the 2017's ICO mania. Thousands of projects lined up to launch their so-called decentralized assets atop the Ethereum blockchain and raised millions of dollars. That pushed the demand for the ledger's native token ETH, leading its spot price to as high as $1,420 per token. But the bias flipped soon after majority of Ethereum-based blockchain startups failed or proved to be outright scams. The private assets they distributed via public crowd sales plunged massively due to no concrete backing from an astounding business model. That again had a proportional impact on ETH, whose value started plummeting in response. By December 2018, the token rate had dropped to as low as $89.90. During its rise, Ethereum attracted a majority of its investments from investors who held Bitcoin, the native cryptocurrency of the world's leading blockchain project of the same name. By February 1, 2018, ETH had surged by more than 430% against Bitcoin. One can say that the first decentralized cryptocurrency lost a lot of investors to its young competition. Nevertheless, the end of ICO mania prompted investors to leave ETH for good. Many of those went back to the good old fiat currency markets. Others, who wanted to stay again inside the world of cryptocurrencies, switched back to Bitcoin or new, promising blockchain projects. As of July 16, 2019, ETH was trading 83.77% down from its all-time high against Bitcoin. That, in turn, happened due to Bitcoin's growing dominance in the cryptocurrency market. Ever other top alternative coin failed to match up to the strong sentiments in the Bitcoin market. Ethereum, plagued by the ICO mishap, too suffered likewise. Pushing the bulls? The Ethereum backers have been lately attempting to change the narrative of their offerings. After ICOs, the new kid on the block is decentralized finance, DeFi, a method which enables borrowing, lending, and trading of assets atop the Ethereum blockchain. Moreover, DeFi allows developers to create and issue asset-backed derivatives on the public ledger. Applications utilizing the DeFi approach are turning in good numbers for Ethereum. MakerDAO, for instance, is a decentralized debt system running on the Ethereum blockchain. It allows people to lock their ETH in a smart contract as collateral and take out credit in DAI, a stablecoin pegged to the US dollar. Per the data provided by MKR Tools, the amount of ETH locked in the MakerDAO smart contract has surged substantially since January 2018. Other than DeFi, there are also Ethereum-based tokens that have survived the ICO bloodbath. Some of them, such as LINK, performed exceptionally well against Bitcoin during this year's second fiscal quarter. It was up 800% against the US dollar at one point this year but corrected downwards by 30%. The Bitcoin-Ethereum competition. The interim scenario allows Bitcoin to lead the gains in the cryptocurrency market. The halvening event next year, institutional adoption, and an organic approach to obtain a global regulatory standard are all creating a right environment for investors to test Bitcoin. Ethereum, despite its lower number of upside fundamentals, is also attracting interests from firms like HTC, Fidelity, and Google. Forbes created a list of $50 billion companies that was experimenting with blockchain. 24 firms out of them were testing Ethereum, including Consensus, Citigroup, Coinbase, and others. The next couple of years could decide where Ethereum stands in the race of best blockchains. As of now, it remains the second to Bitcoin. Andrew Yang Super PAC will accept Lightning-powered Bitcoin donations. This could be the first time the Lightning Network, a Bitcoin scaling solution, officially impacts the U.S. presidential election. Roughly a dozen Bitcoiners who support Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang launched a crypto-friendly super PAC on Thursday, Humanity Forward Fund, Humanity FWD. Thanks to the PAC's payment processor, OpenNode, the entity will be able to accept payments from Lightning wallets. The Super PAC obviously wants to receive donations as large as possible. But at the same time, individuals who want to donate just a bit to Yang's platform now have that opportunity, OpenNode CEO Afnan Rahman told CoinDesk. It allows the donors to have all of the amount go toward the actual donation rather than minor fees. Humanity FWD will only accept Bitcoin donations for the first 21 days, according to founder Seth Cohen. After that, fiat donations will also be accepted. He said the group hasn't decided whether the PAC will hold Bitcoin or immediately convert to fiat. Potentially earning or losing money creates additional regulatory requirements, Cohen told CoinDesk about the challenge of managing Bitcoin donations. It would mandate the PAC keep records of Bitcoin's volatility for each donation. Even so, Cohen said, OpenNode's 1% processing fee is far lower than that of credit card processors, which want to charge the Super PAC up to four times as much. Although this isn't the first time Americans have donated Bitcoin to political campaign initiatives, with states like California and South Carolina even banning direct crypto donations to the candidates, the 2020 election may be the first with a Bitcoin-centric super PAC focused on garnering support for a specific candidate. Some PACs, like the Student Debt Reform PAC Fund, also accept Bitcoin. Plus, according to the Center for Public Integrity, 9 federal candidates, parties and super PACs received nearly $570,000 worth of cryptocurrency donations during the 2017-2018 election cycle. Now Rahman said his startup is currently talking with several other PACs, across party lines, about supporting Bitcoin donations leading up to the 2020 election. However, Yang, in particular, has come out as the most pro-crypto candidate, even listing an official promise on his campaign's website to promote legislation that provides clarity to the cryptocurrency industry. He even spoke at CoinDesk's Consensus 2019. There seems to be a lot of interest in Andrew's forward-thinking policy, his views on Bitcoin, specifically, Cohen said. We would like to raise enough to have a significant impact on this election. Venezuelan GOVT reportedly dodges U.S. sanctions with crypto in airports. Venezuela is reportedly choosing to use Bitcoin, BTC, not its own digital currency Petro, to circumvent United States sanctions in airports. According to a report in local news media outlet ABC on July 22, President Nicolas Maduro has authorized the use of an app which collects aeronautical taxes, and then their conversion to Bitcoin. The app, Jetman Pay, is ironically of U.S. origin, with Venezuela converting the BTC funds via partners in countries such as China, Russia and Hungary. The funds are then deposited as fiat dollars in government-controlled bank accounts in those countries. According to ABC, the design for the process came about over a year ago, and constitutes a unique method by which Maduro can avoid sanctions. Now, he plans to expand the aviation tax collection scheme to other airports beyond that of the capital, Caracas, and will shortly sign an agreement to apply it to aircraft refueling payments. At present, airlines serving Venezuela have difficulties making those payments due to U.S. sanctioning the accounts of state oil company, PDVSA. The publication quotes documentation it reportedly saw privately. So far this year, the Venezuelan government has not received a dollar to refill the gas tanks because the airlines do not know how to pay for the service due to the blocking of the PDVSA accounts. The move is notable for the absence of Petro in its supply chain, the Maduro regime having previously championed it as a way around economic restrictions when it debuted in 2018. Wholly centralized and controlled by Caracas, the project has seen limited uptake due to the U.S. likewise banning foreign interaction with it. A Washington-based think tank described Petro as a failure earlier this month. As Cointelegraph continues to report, Venezuela suffers from crippling hyperinflation, which has forced ordinary citizens to turn to Bitcoin to preserve the value of their private wealth. FBI suspects insider trading in Long Island iced tea blockchain pivot. The U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, is hunting for evidence of insider trading and securities fraud relating to the 2017 blockchain pivot of then-beverage firm Long Island iced tea, LTEA. According to a search warrant request, first reported by Quartz, the FBI is seeking to gain access to encrypted messages held on a phone seized in different case involving securities fraud at another firm, Kelvin Medical. After two men, Oliver Lindsay and Gannon Gagueri, were arrested in relation to that case, which Quartz suggests is still ongoing, agents found what they consider telltale signs of insider trading involving Long Island iced tea stock on Lindsay's iPhone, based on traces of the encrypted phone messages. As such, the FBI is seeking the warrant to retrieve those messages in full based on probable cause of the crimes. Long Island iced tea made headlines on December 21, 2017 when its stock surged following a pivot to blockchain and a change of name to Long Blockchain. However, the firm later found itself delisted from NASDAQ over the shift, suspected to have been carried out to pump its stock, and subpoenaed by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC. It had previously warned investors that it was facing the risk of being delisted as the SEC believed the firm made a series of public statements designed to mislead investors and to take advantage of general investor interest in Bitcoin and blockchain technology. The FBI warrant states that, in the encrypted messages, some of which were exchanged before the blockchain pivot, that Lindsay and other individuals had discussed what appears to be confidential information regarding LTEA. The document also says that one of the individuals is identified on the phone as Eric W., whom the FBI agent who submitted the warrant says believes is Eric Watson based on other evidence in the case. Watson was a major investor in Long Island Iced Tea at the time of the pivot, according to Quartz. The warrant also lists several seemingly urgent messages between Lindsay and Eric W., including one that the FBI agent believes refers to common aspects of a pump-and-dump campaign. Another name that is cited in the warrant is that of Julian Davidson, who was sent WhatsApp messages by Lindsay. While it doesn't make the link, a man with the same name was executive chairman of Long Island Iced Tea at the time. It should be noted that Davidson hasn't been accused of a crime and left his position at the firm days before the blockchain pivot, according to Quartz. The FBI agent concludes in the warrant that, based on the findings to date, there is probable cause to suspect that Lindsay and Gagueri had conspired with each other and others to, and did, trade LTEA securities on the basis of material, non-public information, in violation of various laws. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.